Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that you've come out to join us today for worship and be centered on the Word of God. As most of you know, we are in a series called Be the Church. We're really excited about it. This is the third unofficial week. It's the second official week. My friend David Nelms here was here on Labor Day weekend, kind of gave us the unofficial start. But you can go back and watch the previous messages on Facebook on our page or on our website. And we'd encourage you to do that if you missed them. This week, our sermon is entitled A Clear Direction. Over the past few months, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and a common statement that gets made to me is this statement, is the direction of the church. The direction of the church. Now, it's usually preceded by this other statement, I don't like. And usually the statement is, I don't like the direction of the church. So I ask a question in response to that, and it's always good if someone says something like that, that we ask a question. What is the direction of the church from your perspective? And as I listened and as we discussed how people feel about the direction of this church here, Christ Community Church, I began to hear a lot of different things. But what I really learned was is that it was less about maybe the missional direction of the church and more really about preferences, about opinions, about decisions that were made. And as we went through that, I began to give it more thought. And as we think about who we are as a church, we need to know that as I look out here, I see a group of people that have been invested in this church. And whether you've just came and just started to be invested here or you've been here a long time, we've been invested in this church. And we have great optimism of all that God has done, is doing, and will do. And when we do that, we've poured our life into what God is doing here as a church. We've developed deep relationships. So then when there's things that happen within an organization like that, we begin to ask questions because we have a lot of investment. So some of the things that I've heard, and this is just a few, you might have walked in here today thinking, what is the direction of the church? I'd really like to know, and we'll get to that in a moment. But a few common ones that I've heard is this. How long will this process take? Now, that's one I've asked quite a bit. I've been here a little bit, but how long is this process actually going to take? One that's a common one, and no offense to my friend Greg, but how much longer is Greg going to be here? And he's probably watching live from home, so dude, I love you, but it's a question that gets asked, and he gets asked that question as well. But I understand the meaning behind that question. It's no disregard to Greg. It's just, again, that question of where are we headed? How much longer is this going to take? What's the progress in the lead pastor search? That's the other one. When are we going to have a permanent lead pastor? That's a very common question that we have. Another one that I hear is that what do the new elders do? What do the new elders do? And sorry for the elders in the room, but it's just a question that gets asked, and I'm sure that they get asked that question as well. Then we get questions like, what's the theological direction of the church? And we're going to cover that here today especially. What's with the new community groups? Does it mean we're going to end all other ministries in our church and our church ministries and programs as they existed once will cease to exist? Often is the conversation that we have. But here's the thing, church. I totally get it. I have the same questions in my heart, and today we're hoping that we can encourage you and give you some answers for what God's clear direction is for His church, Christ Community Church, being a part of that as we move forward. Here's something, though, that's true. When we begin to wonder about the direction of the church, when we've been invested in something, when we've given our life to it, and then we begin to feel as though it's not going the direction that we anticipated, or maybe we're not in agreement with all the choices that have gone on with a place that we've been invested, it's easy to come to a place of being cynical. Now, I think by nature, humans are cynical. I'm cynical by nature. And what that means is that what we can say is that when we've invested in someone's life or in an organization or a mission or a ministry like Christ Community Church or in others' lives, when it begins to not work out, we harden our heart towards certain situations. We begin to say, forget it, they're going to do what they want anyways, or I can't be a part of that anymore, they're headed a direction that I don't want to go. But if that's not based in facts, we begin to actually close ourselves off from what God wants to do. We begin to close ourselves off from the work that God has intended for each of us to do in our lives and as a church. And it's easy to get cynical, but Carrie Nowiff just wrote a new book. It came out last week, and it's called Didn't See It Coming. And his first chapter is on cynicism. I'd encourage you to hop on and look at that online. He's got some podcasts on. You can also buy the book. It's called Didn't See It Coming by Carrie Nowiff. But his first chapter is on cynicism, and it happens that I've been reading it this week, and he's so true. That you see, most cynics, they started out as optimists. That's his kind of thesis statement there, that all of us go into life as optimists, or most of us go into life as optimists. And then what happens is that things don't work out. We pour our life into someone, and then that their life doesn't go the way that we were hoping it to. We pour our life into a ministry, and things change. We get connected with people, and they either move on or they make choices we don't agree with, and we become jaded and hardened. But cynicism is a choice. Cynicism is a choice. We have a choice to either be cynical or optimistic. And here's the thing, as born-again followers of Christ Jesus, do you know who the most optimistic people in the world should be, regardless of what's going on out there or in here? Do you know who they should be? It should be us. Do you know why? Because we follow and serve the world's best optimist, Christ Jesus. He came, thank God he didn't harden his heart when he poured himself out for people and then they despised and rejected and abused him and then nailed him to a cross. Thank God for that, amen? Because he is our eternal optimist. He's who we find our hope and our strength and our anchor in. He's our safe refuge in the storm, not other people, not the choices that the world makes, none of the things around us. If we're putting our hope and trust in anything but Christ Jesus, we will become cynical. But you see, as a church, we have a choice as individuals, as a body of believers, to either be optimistic about what's ahead and about what God is doing, or we can come to a place where we're going to be cynical in things that potentially aren't going our way, or make up our mind based on half-truths or observations from a distance. So today, our hope is to encourage you in what God is doing in his church and what his clear direction is for us as a church. Now, hopefully I've gotten your attention here this morning after I've called you all cynical and I'm with you though, okay? I have that same tendency. But I want to share with you what the vision and value statement is for Christ Community Church, because it is full of optimism, because it's centered in the Word of God and it's focused on Christ's direction for us as a body. Now, you've heard part of the vision and value statement. The first one is, it's right on the front of your bulletin, learning to live like Jesus and helping others to do the same. We've been saying that for weeks now, but that sums up our larger vision and value statement. But before I get to what that statement is, I want to tell you how we arrive there. First off, if you're here and you participated in any of the summits, in any of the surveys, sent us emails, had conversations, all the people that I've spoken with even that have given feedback, and then all the other leaders and folks in the church that have had these conversations, they have had input into what the vision and values are of Christ Community Church, because we know when people even are confused or not happy about things, we know that those are the things they value. But as we think about all the summits, all the surveys, the people that have participated in that, we've helped to shape and define what the vision and values are of the church. Now, I want to say this, is that some have given a little pushback to say, well, if we just go based on people's preferences and opinions of what the church should be like, we're going to miss the mark. But that's not what we did. It's not what we did at all. In fact, what the transformation team has done, and they have worked tirelessly in this process. If you're on the transformation team, I just want you to stand for a minute here. Transformation team folks, go ahead and stand up. How many we got? There's two, a couple up there, some observation there. They didn't know they were going to stand. I won't make you talk. Listen, this transformation team, they are people who love this church. They want what God wants of this church. And they took the information from all the summits, all the feedback, and they poured over it. But they weren't looking for the popular part of it or the opinion or all those preferences in it all. They were looking for the thread of what we practice in values of our church. What are the things that we've been practicing as values? Now, we've stated a lot of things we hope to be as a church. That's a stated value. But what they were looking for was what our practiced values values are, because that tells us who we are as a church. So we heard things like a welcoming church, a church that loves to welcome people, care for people, a church that loves worship, that loves the Word of God, that's missional, that wants to be outward focused, that wants to reach the world. There's a whole list of those, and we've shared those in the past, but we began to take those, and the transformation team worked hours and hours, and I'm on this strand that they communicate on. I know they're working 7 days a week because the notifications pop up all the time on my phone. These guys are working. Guys and ladies are working hard on this. So they took all this information from you, starting with you, discerned by the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit, and they started to come up with a vision and value statement. And they started to design one, and then they kicked it over to the staff and the elders. If you're on staff, I want you to stand for a minute. Any staff in the room? There's no staff in the room? Oh, there we go, back there. Sorry, Gretchen, one of our newer staff members. Look, if you see someone from the TT or the staff, and I'm going to talk about the elders in a minute, listen, stop and thank them. They work so hard. They love this church. They want what God wants of this church. We're going through a transformation, a change in our own life. Just thank them. It's just been a wonderful experience. Going through a lot of these cultural change and seeking the Lord together. But so they kicked it over to the staff, and then the elders got it. Elders, if you're in the room, I want you to stand. I see one here. I don't know, we'll probably have some more at the next service. But let's thank the Lord for our elders. You know, I've heard a lot of things about our elders. A lot of things about our elders, okay? I do speak English sometimes. I've heard a lot of things about our elders. I've heard a lot of criticism about our elders. Their age, maybe their perceived love for Christ Community Church, for their dedication, for their involvement. I've heard these things, and I get it. I totally get it. We have new elders. We have elders that were here for a long time and served, and they're awesome. And we love all those who have served over the years as elders here, and we're so glad that they're a part still of the ministry, and we're thankful for them. And I get having new people in that position is a hard adjustment, but I want to say this to you as your friend, that these four guys, listen, no one asks for this position. They're nominated to it. They seek a calling to it, and it's a hard position, okay? They carry a burden for this church. They love this church with their whole heart. I can tell you that first and foremost. There's also a lot of spiritual warfare that comes in play when you've moved into a calling and a position of an elder. It's a burden on their wives as well. Now, they're accepting it with an open heart and mind, and they love this church. But I want you to know that they're seeking God in all things, okay? And I know that some have said that maybe they're a little young. I want to remind you that I'm 44 years old, so I'm not much different in age than they are, okay? We're seeking the Lord together. We're figuring it out together. But what I want you to do is pray for the elders, pray for the staff, pray for the transformation team. Reach out and talk with them. Get to know them. Because when we begin to know and understand people, we increase in our value and our heart connection with them. So I would say that and ask you to do that with our elders, and we're so thankful for them and the staff and the transformation team. Back to where we got our vision and values from. You're going to find I take a few rabbit trails today. I'm going to pack like a 60-minute message into 35, I think, maybe 40. But either way, they kicked it over to staff. Now, the transformation team had been working hours and hours and hours on coming up with all of this, and they had a great vision and value statement put together, and they had poured so much life and prayer and study into it, and they kicked it to us, and we slice and dice it and want to change kind of the whole thing. They get it back, and it's nothing that they sent to us. It looks nothing like that. Can you imagine how that feels? I'm sure it's happened to you in one form or another. Totally get it. So we started to kind of kick it around between the elders and the TT and the staff. So then it was the TT asked to meet with the staff and the elders and the pastors. So we got together in a room, and I forget how many of us are there, probably maybe 10 or 12 or so, but a good amount of us. Now, we all love each other, and we care deeply about each other, but we're also passionate about what we believe the vision statement should be for Christ Community Church, because we're passionate and we love Christ Community Church. All right, y'all tracking with me? So we're in the room, and it starts out, it's a little chippy, I think. I would just describe it as a little chippy, okay? I think me and Matt even had a little moment in the beginning there. We're good. But it was, because we all kind of came in with this thing, you know, and I don't know if you've ever tried to put together a statement or made plans, but we all come in with like that one thing that we got to make sure is in there. Like, I don't care what the rest of it says, it better say my one thing though, right? For good reason, good motives, but that's where we were. So after an hour and a half of plodding through deep, wet mud, we got nowhere. We were kind of circling around, and we were working through it, trying to do it as lovingly and as unified as possible, but we really had kind of gone nowhere. So what happened was is that at the same time, and this is a really cool thing on how God works, at the same time, the community group team, myself, Jonathan, and Laura Mansfield, who is right here, we had been working on a value statement for our community groups, and we're moving to community groups. I'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes, but we were working on a value statement, and in this meeting about the value statement for the church, we're talking about how we needed kind of a concise way to say it, something that would be memorable and easy to hold on to and easy to define and for all of us to follow. So we said, well, why don't we just share that as kind of an example, but no real intention to say, hey, let's use this for the whole church. So they asked, yeah, share it. So I share it. And I share it, and I write it on the board, and we're looking at it. And I got to tell you that I've never in my 6.5 years on staff here had a meeting, and boy, I've had a lot of meetings, if I can't even count how many meetings I've had. I've never in my time here experienced instantaneous unity in the Holy Spirit the way I did in that moment. Now, you can ask anyone who stood. I think that they would attest to that moment. None of us went in with the agenda to have this be what it is, but it was the work of God. That all of us together, not one person came up with it on their own. We've all had contribution to it, but we were prayerfully seeking God in a way that was founded in Scripture to define who we are and where we're headed as a church. And it was really cool because all of us came to this place of unity. We looked over it for a couple of minutes, and then this wonderful peace and unity came over the room, and a calm in our hearts and a togetherness, and there was tears, and there was prayer, and then the meeting ended 10 minutes early. That'll tell you the Holy Spirit's in it. But here's where we landed. Learning to live like Jesus and helping others to do the same, and it's defined out by a word called grace. And it's all about grace, isn't it? I mean, you could say it's all about that grace. About that grace. About that, oh. No trouble. Sorry. I know my dad jokes are coming out of me, but hey, listen, you're going to remember it now. But here's what grace stands for. First off, we wouldn't be collected here as a church if it wasn't for the grace of Christ Jesus. Listen to this for a second. What's the name of our church? Christ Community Church, right? See, it's because of our faith in the great free gift of salvation through Christ that we are made a community that he calls his body, which is expressed in his church, who then goes out to the community, shares Christ with them, who then gets added to the body of Christ as a community. You see, we're Christ Community Church. You see how that works? But here's what the grace stands for. First off is the G stands for gather. To gather together regularly to learn and live God's word. To learn and live God's word. Has to be about that. The second one is to relate, to grow and relate with one another in Jesus, and not just about coffee and who's going to win Sunday and do you think Brady can go 10 more seasons. That's fun, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about authentic relationships with Jesus and with each other. The next one is a door, and the A stands for door. It means that we're coming together to worship and prayer and music and thankfulness before God, and service is an act of worship as well, but it's to adore God as a church and as community. The next one is care. The C is for care, that we're caring for one another's emotional, physical, and spiritual needs, that we're coming together, not just on Sundays and Saturdays, but also during the week in our community groups and our ministries. And the E stands for engage, that we take all that God is doing in our life and we go and engage the world out there with it. I'm looking at a room of people that has a burden on their heart for the lost souls that we come in contact with every day. So that's grace, that we gather, that we relate, that we adore, that we care, and that we engage. And it's all based from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Now, what does a vision and value statement mean for Christ Community Church? What does it mean for any organization? Well, what it means is this. It means that every ministry and program and event that we have here at Christ Community Church will be looked at through the lens of grace to see if it's a support, if it fits the mission and the value statement for Christ Community Church. And what that'll mean is that there'll be some times where we just have to make some hard choices to say this fits or it doesn't fit where the mission is, because we want to be laser focused and efficient in what God's called us to as a church. Now, the good news is that we're not going through and wholesale changing every ministry in the place. You know, that is one some people's concerns, that we're going to cancel all ministries and start from scratch. That would be disastrous, and that would also say that all the ministries we've been doing over the years have been for nothing. And that's a lie, okay? This church has had excellent ministries, excellent programs. And last I checked, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says that nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. Last I checked, okay? So that's not what we're doing. Some people have wondered if we're going to make people who are running small groups and weren't moving to the community group model, if we were going to make them stop leading small group the way they always have. That is not happening, okay? What we've asked our small groups is that they would prayerfully consider joining into the community group model. What they're doing is excellent. They're teaching the word, they're loving one another, but we've asked them to prayerfully consider. We've also shared with them that if they're not feeling that that's where God is leading them at this time, they can continue to do what they've always done. Totally fine with us, and as we add new groups, there'll be community groups. So to clear that up, that's where that is. You know, change happens slow, happens one degree at a time, but we have to stay laser focused on the clear path that God has made for us. So I want to jump into scripture here. If we could stand, we're going to look at Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let's go ahead and read out loud together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word, God. We declare that we believe that it is holy and fully inspired by you through the Holy Spirit, God. We declare and proclaim it as the authority in our life. We declare and believe that it is written without error, God, and you have written it for us, Lord, that we may grow in our relationship with you, Father. God, we thank you for this time. God, we pray that you would speak to us now as we seek your clear direction for your church, God. Speak to each one of us, Lord. Meet us where we're at, God. Each one of us have come in here today with a place that we need encouragement. Some, God, are maybe new to our congregation, Lord, and they came in seeking just clear direction for their own life, God. May they find that here today. God, encourage us as a people through your word now, Lord. We open up our heart to you. We ask the Holy Spirit to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This first verse is packed with four things. But before we get to those four things, I want to point out the word devoted. You see, this word devoted is important. It's this life dedication. It's this surrender yourself and give yourself to something, this life devotion. And it says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That would be the word of God. That they were devoted to fellowship. That would be, and also devoted to the breaking of bread, which would be communion, and devoted to prayer. So as we look at that first one, devoted to the word of God, the thing you need to know is that we can't learn how to live like Jesus apart from the word of God. The word of God is about Jesus. All 66 books point to us the story of who Jesus is and God's great plan for the redemption of the earth and his desire to be in a personal relationship with us. All 66 books. So if we think that we can be apart from the word of God, if we think that we can be the church without being founded in the word of God, then we missed it. We missed it. And everything we do has to be centered in the word of God here at Christ Community Church. It is the authority in our life. I've heard a few times, and I want to share this because maybe some of you have felt this way as well. We've had a lot of different discussions about where we stand theologically. October 7th is our next summit, right? And October 7th, we have a summit coming up that's called Where We Stand, right? Or What We Believe, something like that. But we're going to be covering the theological standpoints of our church. We want you to come. There's no excuses, okay? I'll tell you why there's no excuses to not be there. It's a Sunday afternoon. There's childcare. There's food. And the Patriots don't play until a night game, okay? So so we want all of you there. If you want to know what we believe and where we stand as a church, I think that's the name of it, come out October 7th. But I've had some feedback because we've had so many conversations about where our theological standpoint is, and we've been discussing and interacting with that. I've had some folks say that they're concerned that we're heading towards being a liberal theology church, that we're going to have this liberal theology as a church. Now, I don't believe that that's the case, but I want to give you the definition of what liberal theology is. Often when we think of the word liberal, we think politics, right? We think liberal politics and conservative politics. I think that's where most of our minds go. But liberal theology is a whole nother thing. What the basis of liberal theology is, and some of you Googling it probably right now as I'm talking to you, but you can look it up, but the basis of it is this. Liberal theology takes the authority of the Word of God and God Himself, and it puts it here. Do you know what liberal theology bases its authority on? Wait for it. Cultural norms. Look it up. It's the truth. It's said different ways from different places, but that's what it's based on. Christ Community Church is not heading towards liberal theology. I'll just tell you that, okay? We're going to be founded in the Word of God. Let me encourage you in this place. If you ever go to a church, if God leads you to another church, we want you to be where God wants you to be. We love everyone. We realize that God brings people different places. But whatever church you go to, make sure that the Bible is the highest authority, is the authority in their church. Any church you go to that puts it secondary or stops looking at it as the inerrant word of God that's authoritative, you need to go to a different church. Any church that puts a person at the same level as the scriptures as authority, you need to go to a different church. We're not headed to a place of liberal theology here. I want to assure you of that, okay? And we are going to be founded in scripture and always founded in scripture. Moving on. So the next part talks about how they devoted themselves to fellowship. Now that word fellowship, you hear me talk about this word a lot. It's a Greek word, koinonia. You're going to get sick of me talking about this, but it's vital. That word koinonia, the true fellowship, is vital to our walk. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could have koinonia with God the Father. That's how vital it is. That we could be in perfect fellowship, and He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in us. It doesn't get any closer than that now, does it? But that's that koinonia, and then God has called us as His body to be in fellowship, in koinonia, real relationship with one another, that we're pouring our lives from one into the other. Next week and the week after, I'm going to be talking about a couple of key messages. Next week is going to be talking about everything we need, and that's the title, and it's going to be talking about how Jesus has given us all we need to multiply our life for Christ, and part of that is koinonia. The week after that, it's a sermon entitled Stop Saying You're a Christian. I want you to come out for that one as well, because it's going to be talking about evangelism in today's culture. So we'll be digging in deeper on each one of these as the weeks come on, and then I think Conrad's up after that, and he's got a great message for us as well. But as we think about this, this koinonia is vital to our relationship, because here's how it works. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could stand fully and wholly cleansed in a perfect relationship with God the Father, perfect fellowship through the Holy Spirit, and then He's called us, His church, to be the church and connect other people to Him the same way through Christ Jesus. That's why koinonia is so important. And koinonia just doesn't stop at salvation. That's our process by which we begin to be transformed, to learn to live like Jesus and help others to do the same. So if you thought fellowship was coffee and talking about the football game, you got it wrong. That's fun, but it ain't koinonia, and it's not what we're about here at Christ Community Church. We're going to keep it real, we're going to be real, and we're going to be in authentic relationship with one another. This is where we're headed as a church, because it's who we are as a church. The next one on there is communion. And this is important because when we come to the table of remembrance and observe communion, it's important because it keeps what Christ did, the fact that he's the one that's connected us together, central place in our relationship. It's all about what Christ did and not about what we did. That's why we celebrate communion. We'll talk about that more in weeks to come. And the fourth thing is prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Think about GRACE, the acronym, the acrostic that we have, right? So we gather together. This is the first part here in this verse. The gather together around the word. We also begin to relate to one another in koinonia with Jesus and with each other. Our acrostic for our church of GRACE is founded right here in the passage of Scripture. Imagine that, huh? We're following God's plan for the direction of our church moving forward, and it's crystal clear. Prayer is vital to our church. Prayer is vital to our church. On Wednesday nights, the banks run a group right out the doors there in the prayer room. They'd love to have you come. If you can't make it every week, they'd love you to come when you're available. Am I right about saying that? But we need to continually pray. Now, I know a church that is a praying people. I talk with you all the time, and I do wholeheartedly believe that we go to the Lord in prayer on a regular basis. I know a church that's praying and interceding for lost souls and for healings and people to come out of addiction. I know a church that is going to God and seeking his will on a regular basis, but we also need to grow in that in community. You can join Wednesday night, but this is what our community groups are doing, is that we're coming together in real relationship with one another, with God, centered on the word, joining together in prayer. And it's just the beginning of what they're doing. I want to plug the community groups for a minute. If you miss signing up for a community group, we still have space in community groups. All you need to do is email christcommunitychurch@cccfamily.com. Tell them that you want to be in a group. Give them the night or daytime that you're available and whether you want to be in a mixed group or a men's or women's group. Just email the church. We'll get you plugged in. It's vital that we're in small community together. All right? And all of our ministries are focused on leading to small communities so that we can continue to add people to community. But prayer fuels everything we do. Everything we do as a church needs to be preceded by prayer. It needs to be fueled by prayer. And when we see God move in an awesome way, we need to be in awe through prayer to him. Here's a really cool thing. The next part of this passage, it says, and that they were in awe of the wonder of the signs and wonders that the apostles were doing. In awe of the signs and wonders that the apostles were doing. But see, there's a progression here. Many people that I meet with, they're looking for the sign and wonder, but they don't really, they've missed the first part. They've missed the pathway to the sign and wonder, that they're just looking for that evidence of the Holy Spirit through a sign and wonder, but they miss out on the fact that there's a pathway here. It's progressive. And listen, the pathway is not fancy. It's not flashy. It's kind of simplistic, actually. But guess what? It's powerful and effective because it's God's pathway. It's God's clear direction. And when we follow it, what he tells us in Scripture is that these signs and wonders happen in miraculous ways. This is one of the reasons why we share so many testimonies during our services, because we want people to see the wonderful miracles that are happening in people's lives. Think about the previous ones we've had through our care ministries. Some of you were here for that weekend of the testimonies of the miracle that God's doing in people's lives. Esther shared a couple of weeks ago about her amazing journey that God carried her on. Those are signs and wonders. Those are miracles that God's doing in people's lives. I can look around this room, and I know many of you personally, the miracles that God's done in your life. We need to share those testimonies with people. We need to share those testimonies with people. As we continue on, it says that the people had everything in common. They had all things in common. Now, you need to know something about this passage. If you go back up to verse 5, it says actually that all these people were gathered from every nation under heaven. That all the people were gathered from every nation under heaven. Guess what? They didn't even have the same language in common. All right? But this passage says they had everything in common. Well, how could that be? How can that be if they're not even from the same culture, if they don't have the same traditions? Look around the room, church. All of us don't have everything in common. We're from different backgrounds. We even have different political viewpoints. We probably don't even root for the same football team, all of us. No, that's definitely not true. But the truth is that we don't have everything in common. If I took a vote right now on what color the carpet should be, guess what? We wouldn't come to a consensus on that, I can guarantee you. can guarantee you that we all have different perspectives, we have different life stories, but here's the thing, we can become cynical over the things that we disagree about. We can bash each other on Facebook. We can come to a place of argument. We can argue over the non-essential things in this church even. But what Christ is telling us is that we have all things in common because we have Christ in common. The mission is clear. And as we drive ahead on that mission, there's way more things to agree about in Christ Jesus than there are things to argue about. You know what Satan wants? He wants us to stop looking forward as a team down that set of railroad tracks to where God directed us, and he wants us to start looking at each other and picking on each other. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to spend more time arguing about how we should do it instead of getting to it. We have all things in common. Now, here's the other thing. I think that having a standpoint politically is important. I believe that all of us are entitled to understanding and all of us have different perspectives and life background. But God put it together that doesn't divide us, it unites us. How much stronger are we when all our perspectives, when all our history, when God's story comes together, it makes us stronger in all things, does it not? God has equipped us to reach every person in our area because we have a representation of every perspective in our area. God has gathered us together for strength, not to be divided. We have all things in common, church. And I could talk about this for probably another hour or so, but I need to move on. As we continue on here, it says there's the C is the caring. It says that they sold their possessions and they cared for those who were in need. You know, that's one of the big things that came out of the summits was that we're a caring church, that we want to care for each other. Care groups and individuals, and we're praying for and checking in on people. And we want to do an even more excellent job at that. And we are doing that through our small ministry and small groups. It's hard to care for one another in the morning when we have all these, with so many people here in the room. But when you're in a group of 8 to 12 people, when you're checking in with folks on a regular basis, boy, we can really be the church, can't we? All those small groups are micro churches within a big church. But we're a people who care, and we're going to continue to grow and increase in our ability to do that. And last but not least is engage. It says here in this last verse that, actually, it's not last but not least, I missed something. And it says that all the people were gathered and they worshiped God. You know, we come together and worship because of the awe of the work that he's doing. We come together here on the weekend and worship, but there's so many expressions of worship. That worship is core to who we are. We're driven in worship because of God's great love for us, but also too just because of how magnificent he is. And worship is a central place to our church, and it's part of what we're doing as a church in all areas. And the E is engage. And that means that we're not just keeping all this stuff to ourselves, that we're engaging the world out there with the good news that we've received through many different expressions. Think about all the different ways that we have this potential to engage with the good news of Christ Jesus. When people drive by churches, if you stop random people on the street and ask them about church, most often they're going to give you a statement that relates to them feeling judged in one way or another. Many people that are apart from church, that are outside of being in a relationship with Christ, they believe that God it doesn't approve of them. Now, God may not approve of the activities in our lives. I think we could all agree with that. But the thing the world needs to know is that God is for them. He's not against them. That's how Andy Stanley says it, and I love that statement because God is for them. He's not against them. The world needs to know that God is for them and not against them, and it starts with us being for them and not against them. There's plenty of things in this world and people that we can see that we can say, man, we don't agree with their lifestyle. We don't agree with where they're headed or what they're doing in life, but God is for them. Christ died on the cross for them as much as he died on the cross for us. Don't you think people driving by, don't we want them to know that they belong here? Don't we want them to know that we are for them and not against them, that God is for them and not against them? For God so loved the what? Yeah, that he gave his only son. Some of the last words that Jesus had on the cross was, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. The people that were piercing him and abusing him and despising him and tearing his beard out and spitting on him and nailed him to a cross, he was for them and not against them, and we need to be the same way. Do we have to approve of the behavior and the things that go on in this world? No, but we shouldn't be divided over those issues. Listen, we may not agree on the source of the problems of this world or where it all got started, but I'll tell you one thing we agree on as a church is we agree on the solution. And the solution is we need the world to know that we are for them and not against them. Can you imagine in your workplace when someone walks into your office or walks to your area of work that they know that no matter what, you're for them, you're not against them? Can you imagine in your marriage that your wife or your husband knows that you are for them, not against them, even when they are raving mad at you? Can you imagine even when your kids screw up, they know that you are for them and not against them? Because why? Because Jesus is for them and he's not against them. You see, this is what the world needs to know. This is the direction of our church. We need to learn to live like Jesus and help others do the same. And we know that Jesus is for us, not against us, and the world needs to know the same thing. I've been told by multiple people that we as a church, that church folks been around more than a year, that we can't do this. I've been told that we can't multiply groups, that church folks aren't going to share the gospel the way that we need them to, that we'll never convince people to be a part of the mission that's outwardly focused. I've been told that it's not going to work, that we can't do it. Some of you here may feel like you can't do it. You know why they tell me that? They tell me that church folks they begin to be too inward focused, that we get too comfortable in our seat, that we get too attached to the way that we like to do church, that we have too strong of an opinion that we don't want to give up, that we're too afraid and lack courage to go next door and talk to our neighbor or express love to them in various forms. They tell us that we're too settled in our way, or that we've become too cynical and the world doesn't want to hear it anyways. You know what I say? Challenge accepted. You know why? Because I don't believe them. I believe that we can do this. I believe that God has shaped us to do this. I do believe that part of that statement is right, though, that we can't do it. You and I can't do it under our own human power. But what Jesus tells us, last I checked, it says that with man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I see a group of people that love Jesus so much that they're willing to give up their own preference. They're willing to give up their seat to make room for another person. That they're willing to step out and have that courage to go next door and begin to love that neighbor who maybe they don't agree with their life, but they want them to know that they are for them and not against them because Jesus is for them and not against them. I see a group of people that can reach this area for New England because we know that our God does amazing things. But they told us that we can't do it. Do you believe that we can do it? You sure? Listen, like that set of railroad tracks that I posted on Facebook this week, God has made us a crystal clear direction, a laser direction, and he's placed a train on it, and it's Christ Community Church, and it says Grace down the side, and we're getting on the Grace train, and it's leaving the station, and we're asking all y'all come with us. Are you with us? Do you want to be part of the Grace train? Because I believe that we can reach this area of the country for the Lord because we're going to band together and be laser focused on what the mission is. And the mission is clear and it's based on grace and it's all about the, yeah, because that's where it's at. You missed that cue there. It's all about the grace. It's all about us expressing and living in grace and learning to live like Jesus and helping others to do the same. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this time to focus on what your word says, Lord, in Acts 2:42 through 47. God, you have defined what the clear direction of the church is, Lord. You've told us in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, God, that it's about loving you and loving others, and it's about telling others, God, about you and raising up disciples, Lord, to learning to live like you and helping others to do the same. God, raise us up here as a people, Lord. Overcome the objections and the cynicisms we have, God. Lord, I repent of my cynical thoughts at times, God. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my cynicism, given up, Lord, in certain moments, God. I just ask that you'd forgive me, Lord. And on the behalf of the rest of us here, God, we confess that together as a church, God. May we stay focused, God, on what you're doing. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of your awesome, clear direction for your church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite up the lead pastor search team at this time, and Mark Mooney is going to share an announcement, and then we're going to move to a time of offering.
Good morning, Christ Community Church. I'm Mark Mooney. We'll let the lead pastor search team come on up. The lead pastor search team, your lead pastor search team, has begun the process of finding a permanent lead pastor that God desires to be at Christ Community Church. The team is wholeheartedly seeking God's leading and direction in this important task. I have my first announcement is to inform you that Pastor Matt has decided to begin the formal application process for that position. Now, as an internal candidate, the process is going to be handled in a slightly different manner. So in order to properly vet or qualify whether Pastor Matt fits the lead pastor profile, an outside Christian organization is going to be brought in to do an independent and objective assessment of Matt. That organization is called the Slingshot Group, and they're going to come for a weekend, and they're going to watch the services. They're going to meet with Matt and Wendy. They're going to meet with the elders, the staff. They're going to meet with the transition team, as well as the lead pastor search team. And when they do that, they're going to then complete a report. And that report will then be submitted to us to review, that report, which is going to be available to you all. And we will use that report to determine the next steps in the process. There are three things that we are asking you to pray for. One is for the process. We want to be in God's will in this. The second thing is for the pastor, that God chooses to lead us into the next fruitful season of ministry. The third thing that we ask you to pray for is each member of the lead pastor search team, that we learn God's will for this, and that we work together in unity in the process. If you have any questions, we'll be available after service. Thank you very much, Matt.
I want to start by saying that Wendy and I, we love this church, and I'd like very much to be the lead pastor here in the future. A couple of things with that, though. We want there to be a thorough process. I've asked actually to be vetted by an outside organization. I've asked there to be a thorough process, and I'll tell you why. First off is that we don't want the popularity vote. And now, I love all of you, and I know many of you love me, but we want what God wants for Christ Community Church. We want the person who God is calling to be the lead pastor here. If it's not us, we'll be just as happy with whoever God calls, okay? We want it to be a thorough process, discerned by God's people, but an outside source helps, because then the second piece of that is that we also don't want to get the job from an emotional decision. So that outside source is unbiased. It will help us with that. We are just so thankful for the season that we've had here, and we're looking forward, hopefully, to a long season in the future, but we want what God wants. We want you to want what God wants. The last thing I'll say is that I fully trust the Slingshot Group. I've talked with them. They're pastors, great people. They want what's best for me, what's best for you, what's best for God's church, most importantly. I want you to know that I fully trust them. I fully trust this process. I fully trust the lead pastor search team. That's a mouthful. I fully trust the transformation team and the elders and Pastor Greg and the staff and all who will be involved and all of you. This is what I'm asking from you. In addition to praying the things that Mark has shared from the team, I want you, if you trust me, I want you to trust them. I want you to pray for the process. I want you to understand that this is important, because a couple of years from now, whoever you hire, it's going to get hard, and you're going to wonder if you made the right decision. I promise you that. Whether it's me or someone else, you need to look back and say, yeah, we really sought the Lord on this. We sought God's will. We didn't go with popularity or emotion. We really sought God in all things, and we know that this was coming, but we have vetted Matt well, and we know that he's the guy, or whoever you hire. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. At this time, Mark's going to come and pray those and pray for the offering as well, if the ushers could prepare. Thank you.
Thank you. As the ushers prepare for the offering, we want to take some time to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. Those of you who are guests, please let the offering basket go right by. We appreciate the opportunity to share and worship with you together. And that is our blessing to us to have you with us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can always trust in you, Lord. You're an abundant God, and out of great mercy, you have given us much. We give you this offering today, and with it, we worship you with ourselves. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. Lord, we also lift up the Lawson family for the passing of Mary. We pray for Ken Lumba's family as their mother is in her final hours. We pray that you protect and quickly restore the families affected by Hurricane Florence in North Carolina and South Carolina, as well as those families devastated by the gas explosions in Lawrence and Andover. And Lord, we lift up the lead pastor search process. We pray that your will be done. Lord, we pray for the pastor that you would have lead us into the next season of fruitful ministry. We also pray for each member of the lead pastor search team that they will know your will and work in unity in this process. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got some.
Hi, everyone. We are glad you joined us.